Friends are in a message series we began last week called The Truth on God. And we're talking about the fact that in this world today, there's just a lot of phony baloney out there about God, and we're trying to focus in on who God really is and what God is really like. We said last week that if you really want to know someone, what they're like, you need to look below the surface and look at that person's character, look at their attributes. So that's what we're doing. We're exploring the attributes of God. And each week we're looking at a different one that the Bible talks about in the nature of who God is. A lot of this stuff may seem somewhat basic and common sense on the surface, but sometimes the simplest concepts can be some of the most challenging and even the most complex at times. If we're going to worship this God that we do, we better get to know him better, and that's exactly what we're doing in this series. So let's pray together as we get started today. God, I thank you for your presence with us this morning. It has been clear to me, God, how much you are with us. And Lord, it is in your presence that we need to exist and to live and to place our faith and to put our lives. And so God, in the midst of this message today and this time, we ask that we just rest in your presence and what you have for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If I were to ask you this morning, where is God? Where is God? I wonder what answers we might hear. Some may say, well, God's in heaven. Or others may say, well, God's in my heart. Some people believe that God dwells in church buildings. Some would say he's not in the building at all. He's in the hearts of the people. He's in the people where he exists. The Bible says that God, friends, is all over the place. David says in Psalm 139, we cannot escape from God's presence. And verses 7 through 9, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and will hold me fast. Now think about it for a moment. God never has to go anywhere because he's already there. The Bible says that God's everywhere. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24, it says, can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Friends, God fills heaven and earth. There's no point in the universe where God is not. Now, theologians call this, here's the big theological term for this that many of you maybe have heard before, it's God's omnipresence. The omnipresence of God simply means that God is everywhere. He's everywhere. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. You can't go to any point of the universe where God is not there. He's everywhere. He's not limited by space. He's not limited by place. He's not limited by time. He's not confined to any one location. Now, that can be a hard concept for us to grasp because we're what? We're finite beings, aren't we? With finite bodies. Have you noticed that it's impossible for you to be in two places at once at the same time? It's impossible. Anybody ever try to do that? You can't, can you? I remember an old episode of the Brady Bunch. Remember the Brady Bunch? Where Peter Brady tries to do that. He has two dates. He's trying to be in both dates at the same time. He has one girl in the living room and one in their family room. The kitchen's in between, and he's scurrying back and forth. And you know what? It just didn't work. So we can take a word from the gospel of Peter Brady. You can't be in two places at one time. We can't be in two places at once, but it's no problem for God because God's spirit. So he can be in every place all at the same time. He's everywhere. Now, we can't misunderstand that, as many have through time. We don't want to misunderstand that to say, because it does not mean that God is everything. God is not everything. That's called pantheism. And pantheism says that God's in that chair that you're sitting on. It says that God's in the metal of this pulpit. If there's real metal in here, there's some metal. It says that God's in the trees and God's in the grass. Don't confuse the creator with his creation. He's not everything, but he is everywhere. In Acts chapter 17, The second part of verse 27 through the first part of verse 28, it says, he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. That's saying you can't move apart from God. You wouldn't be alive. You wouldn't exist if it wasn't for God and his presence. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or an atheist or whatever. God is what holds you. God is what holds me together. He's the cohesive force in all of the universe. He holds everything together. Listen, if God removed his presence from this universe, even for a moment, everything would fall apart. Everything would fall apart. Here's the fact. Since God is everywhere, he's always with me. And I need to recognize it. I need to recognize it. I need to be aware of it. With very few exceptions, anywhere you travel on the planet, you're surrounded by air, right? You're surrounded by air. It's in this room. It's all around you. It's tasteless, it's colorless, it's odorless, but you know air is all around you. Do a favor, take a deep breath with me once on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Air is all around you. You know that air is around you, and without it, what? You couldn't live, right? You couldn't live. In much the same way, you don't see God, but you know what? He's here. Now, if you're living aware of God in your life, then you can certainly see the evidence of God all around you, but you don't physically see him. Friends, if you can breathe in the presence of God, you know what? It's going to benefit your life greatly. God's everywhere. But a natural reaction to a doctrinal statement to that is probably, so what? So what? What difference does that really mean, make for me? Well, we're going to look at some verses from God's word that deal with the implications of God being everywhere. What does it mean to me? We're going to explore four areas of your life and my life where God's presence will make a huge difference. When I'm lonely, when I'm worried, when I'm tempted, and when I'm discouraged. Friends, God's presence in your life will make a difference in all four of those areas if you'll let him. If you'll let him. So first of all, when I'm lonely, the Bible says God is my companion. God is my companion. We need to breathe in God's presence and recognize the fact that God is my companion. In Psalm 25, verse 16, it says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. You know what? Some of you may feel lonely right now. You know, there are more people in our world now today than there ever has been before. No one should ever be lonely because there's so many people around us more than ever before, yet there are also more lonely people today than there ever have been before. With all the people in this world, how can we sometimes feel so doggone lonely? And there are different kinds of loneliness. There's the loneliness of a death, of a spouse or a friend. There's the loneliness of a business trip. There's the loneliness of a new school or growing older or the distance that you're feeling between you and your spouse. The loneliness of feeling like you're not understood. There's the loneliness of success. Life on the top can be very lonely. There are many different kinds of loneliness, and we all face some of those lonely feelings at some time in life. That's a fact. But listen, can you be lonely if you're in a crowd? Can you be lonely in a crowd? Absolutely. Absolutely. Friends, there are some people, I bet, here this morning in this church who feel lonely right now. I would almost guarantee it. What's the first thing the Bible says that God didn't like in the world, about the world? Do you remember? He said, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone, to be lonely. Friends, God doesn't want you to be alone. But it's something everybody faces sometimes. So what do you do when you have those moments of uncontrollable loneliness and you can't do anything about it? Here's what you do. You recognize God's presence. Recognize God's presence. He's your companion. In Hebrews chapter 13, the second part of verse 5, it says, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He's your constant companion. Jesus called us friend. You are my friends. He's a friend that knows more about you than any other friend. He understands you. You have a constant companion. God is always with you. When we face a challenge, we like to have somebody with us, don't we? Can you remember all the way back to your first day of school? Remember your first day of school and you wanted your parents to go with you. Can you remember that feeling? I'm going to give you a little secret about myself. I cried my whole first week of school. I mean, I cried all day in class. My first week of school, the teacher had me sit at her desk trying to help. I don't think she knew what to do with me. I couldn't wait to see my mom at the end of the day coming to walk me home. I remember at one point I had a tissue or a handkerchief. I think it was a tissue that my teacher gave me. And my mom said, what's wrong? I said, well, I think I'm getting a cold. And she said, well, we'll have to make sure we send a handkerchief with you tomorrow. We like to have reinforcements, don't we? When I'm lonely, I need to remember that God is my companion because he says, I'm always with you. I'm always with you. He never asks you to do anything by yourself. David even got lonely sometimes, and he was a king. David was a king. He's the one that the Bible describes as a man after God's own heart, but yet sometimes David got lonely. You can see it in the Psalms. And in his loneliness, he turned to the presence of the Lord. Listen in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, where David says this. He says, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with the eternal pleasure of your right hand. Friends, that's the benefit of recognizing God's presence. If we recognize it, God's presence fills me with joy. It fills me with joy. That doesn't mean that I'm always going to be happy, but there's this underlying joy in my life that sustains me through everything that no one can steal, no one can rob, no one can take away. It comes with the presence of God in my life. The second place where God's presence will make a big difference in your life is this. When I'm worried, God is my confidence. God is my confidence. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, it says, when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you won't go down. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you won't be burned up. The flames will not consume you. You know, this reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament as they walk through the fire. God walked through that fire with them. When they came out, the fire had not touched them. The ropes were burned off, but they were protected. It didn't even singe the hairs on their arms. Some of you may be going through fire right now. You're going through fire. Some of you are going through difficulty this week. None of us can predict the problems that we're going to face. But one thing we can do, one thing we can be certain of, is that God's going through it with you. God is with you. When I'm worried, God is my confidence because God is everywhere. God told Moses one day, you're going to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery and into the promised land. And Moses started making excuses. God, I can't do that. I'm insecure. I'm nothing. I can't even speak. And God gives one answer to his excuse. You know what it is? He says, I will be with you. I will be with you. My presence will go with you. I will be your confidence. In Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9, it says, I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near and nothing can shake me. I am so thankful and glad, and I feel completely secure. This is the second benefit. When I'm lonely, God's presence fills me with joy, but when I'm worried, God's presence makes me secure. It makes me secure. It gives me stability. It's a stabilizer. It's a stress reliever. I have confidence because I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's with me. I can handle anything. I can even handle death. In Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That kind of confidence doesn't come from psychology. It comes from knowing that God is with me. He's with me all the time. He says, nothing can shake me. I'm completely secure. When I'm lonely, I have a companion. When I'm worried, I have confidence. The third place where God's presence will make a big difference in my life is this. When I'm tempted, God is my counselor. God is my counselor. He's ready to give me advice. He's ready to help me make it through the temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, I find that to be an encouraging verse. When God is with you, he provides a way out. When you're tempted, he's going to be your counselor. There are several things about this verse. First, it says that temptations are common. They're common to every human being. We all have the same problems. People think that I have this unique batch of problems, but you know what? They don't. We all have the same problems. And if there are some common problems, it means there must be some common solutions. And guess what? They're in God's word. Next, it says that God is with me when I'm being tempted. Remember, he's everywhere, so he's right there with you as you're being tempted. And I find that a motivation for me not to give in to temptation. When I realize that God is right there watching me, that's a motivation to resist the temptation. I don't want to send sin right in front of God. Every time I do sin, it's as if I'm right in front of God's throne. But the real benefit of God's presence is that it not only fills me with joy and makes me secure, but God's presence helps me out. It helps me out. He knows exactly the struggle that you're going through in your mind, and you know what he's pulling for you. He's prepared an escape route. He sees it coming before it comes. He knows I'm walking right into it. He's already prepared an escape route for me to get out of it. I don't have to try to resist on my own willpower. I could never do that. I'm going to fall every time if I use my own willpower. It's not enough to have my willpower. I need his power. And he's promised to help me. And friends, that is good news. God's not going to do that for me. I have free will. I have free choice. I have to choose not to do it, but he's providing a way out that's before me. When I'm tempted, God's my counselor. He gives me advice. He knows what I need to do, and he promises to help me out. No matter what temptation I face this week, next week, at home, at work, at church, at school, you know what? God is there. He's with me in the midst of my temptation. In Psalm 121, verse 3, he says, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. You know what that verse is telling us? It's telling us that God's not going to fall asleep on you. God's not going to fall asleep on you or in me because God's everywhere and he sees everything. Last week we talked about the omniscience of God, that God knows everything. Why does he know everything? You know why? Because he's there. Since God's omnipresent everywhere, he automatically sees everything. He already knows everything. God's eyewitness to every single thing I do. I can't run from the presence of God. He's at my work. He's in my car going to work. He's at the school for the students. He's at home. He's in the bedroom. There's no such thing as a locked door with God. You can't lock him in. You can't lock him out. He's everywhere. It's no big surprise to him because he's there. Now, we can let that be a really disturbing thought for us, or you know what? It can be a really comforting one. A really comforting one. Realizing that God's always present, present should be a great accountability. It should be a motivation to make right decisions. When I'm tempted, he's my counselor. He says, I'm making a way out. I'll help you. I'll help you control that anger or whatever that temptation is if you'll just rely on me. He's there to help you out. When I'm aware of God's presence, it helps me to maintain more control. I'm more alert to the things that I say. The Bible says everything I say, I'm going to have to give an account for one day. Have you ever heard somebody use a swear word in front of you, maybe take the Lord's name in vain, and then they want to pardon themselves for it? Oh, pardon me. I've gotten that a lot. People use the Lord's name in vain, and then they realize I'm a pastor, and they want to try to pardon themselves, and I want to say to them, why are you apologizing to me? You didn't use my name in vain. You ought to ask God to forgive you. It's his name that you're using. He's the one you're offending, and he's listening right now because guess what? He's here. We're more careful when we realize that God's present all the time. Here's the fourth and final place for today where God's presence makes a difference in my life. When I'm discouraged, God is my comforter. God is my comforter. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He saves those who have lost all hope. If you're discouraged, one thing I can say with all confidence, friends, is that God is with you. God is with you. The NIV Bible translation of that says it a bit different. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted, if your heart's breaking this morning, listen to me. God is near you. God is with you. He's present. Friends, God is with you. He feels your hurt. He feels your discouragement. He knows when you're not making it. He knows when you're frustrated. Some of you are going through some rough times right now, and you're ready to give in or to give up, to throw in the towel. I'm not going to put any more effort into it. I'm going to chuck this business, chuck this marriage, chuck these kids. You don't know if you're going to be able to keep on going in the same direction another day, but you got to keep going. You may be ready to give up. I don't know what you're going through, but whatever it is that you're going through, listen to me, God's going through it with you. You're not alone. He's present. He's there because he wants to be your comforter. God's not some impersonal force. He's not some far off, far away power. He's very personal, and he's right there with you. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. No matter what you're going to go through next week, God's going to go through it with you. When the roof caves in on you, God is with you. He's never too busy to listen. He never says, come back later, the line's busy. He's sympathetic to the stress that you're feeling right now in your life. Some of you are listening to this, and you know what? You're thinking of an intellectual truth right now, and you're trying to let that fill your mind. But others know exactly what I'm talking about because you've experienced it here. What I'm talking about, you've been through some deep waters in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and you felt God's presence in your life right here. He's comforted you. He's given you the strength and the encouragement to keep on going. He's been your encourager. Friends, I've been in the ministry for a lot of years now, over 20 years, and I've seen all kinds of reactions that people have in life. I see their reactions to funerals, and hospital stays, and crises that come when nobody can predict or expect them or plan them. I don't know how people make it with God. I really don't. Without God, I really don't. The truth is that they don't make it. They have scars that they don't get over as quickly as people do who depend on the presence of God in their life. They hurt much more deeply and much more severely than those who know God's presence is there. He's there to encourage them. In Psalm 116, verses 8 through 11, it says, "The Lord saved me from death. He stopped my tears and kept me from defeat. And so I walk in the presence of the Lord, in the world of the living. I kept on believing, even when I said I am completely crushed, and even when I was afraid and said no one can be trusted." Times when you think, "I'm defeated, I'm completely crushed, nothing can and no one can be relied on, everybody's let me down," that's when you need to recognize the presence of God in your life. The presence of God not only fills me with joy when I'm lonely, makes me secure when I'm worried, helps me when I'm tempted, but here's the last benefit: it sees me through when I'm discouraged. It sees me through when I'm discouraged. It gives you the motivation to keep on going, to the power to keep on keeping on. It renews your strength. It lifts your heavy heart. It gives you a new vision. That's what God's presence can do in your life and in my life, but you have to allow it. You have to rest in his presence. The key to keep on keeping on, to overcome discouragement, is the phrase from the scripture, "I walk in the presence of the Lord." I walk in the presence of the Lord. How do I do that? God's present all around us, but most people are totally unaware of it. How do I walk in the presence of the Lord? Quickly, let me give you four things to practice that presence of God. First is this: invite Jesus into your life if you haven't done that already. Invite Jesus into your life if you've not already done that. God's all around you. God's by you. He wants to be in you, in your life. He wants to put his spirit inside of you so that you can handle the stress of life. Whenever you get under stress and you feel a pressure coming in on you, you must have strength from the inside to enable you to cope with that pressure. Whenever people get under pressure, they often begin to fill themselves with something else to try to diminish the pain. Maybe they fill themselves with food or alcohol or drugs or relationships. They put something else on the inside to try to help diminish the pressure that's on the outside. Yet the Bible says very clearly, don't get drunk on wine or those other things, but be filled with the Spirit. Instead of being filled with other things, be filled with the Spirit of God. And as you're filled with God's presence in your life, it alleviates the pressure on the outside and you can cope. You can handle stuff. It doesn't cave you in. So the starting point is to invite Jesus Christ into your life if you've not already done that. And the Bible says that what Jesus has done for us on the cross has made it possible for us to come into the presence of God with freedom and confidence. The second way to practice God's presence is to be quiet. Just be quiet. Close your mouth and don't talk. And I see some people maybe nudging their spouses right now, but you should probably nudge yourself as well. One of the reasons why so many people never feel God's presence is because they're just too doggone busy. They're too distracted. There's too much noise. The Bible says in the Psalms, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." Pascal said most of man's problems come from his inability to sit still. Just be quiet. Several times a day, tune in and drop out. Tune into God's presence and drop out of the environment that's around you. Take little breaks during the day to be quiet and to recognize that no matter where you are, God's with you. God's presence is there. The Bible says in James chapter 4, the first part of verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." As you tune into him, you're going to begin to be more aware of his presence. He's always there, but you have to be aware of it to practice his presence. Third way to practice God's presence is to talk to God about everything. Just talk to God about everything. Last week we talked about the omniscience of God, that God knows everything anyway. You can pray about anything and ask for his help. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. How do you do that? How can I get on with life and be continually praying. How do I do that? It's talking about maintaining a continual conversation with God. Do you ever talk to yourself in your head? Don't do that. Talk to God. Talk to God instead of talking to yourself. Talk to him about anything. Walk outside in the morning and say, Lord, it is a beautiful day. Get into your car and say on the way, say, I'm low on gas today, God. As you're driving, God, there's these things that I'm really thankful for. Talk to him about everything, a continual conversation with the companion who's always with you. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. The Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust him at all times, O people, and pour out your heart to him. You maintain an ongoing conversation with him at all points. Some of you say, when I pray, I feel like my prayers never get past the ceiling. It's a high ceiling in here, about 37 feet to the peak. And some say my prayers never get above the ceiling. Well, surprise, God's below the ceiling. He's right next to you. He reads your mind the moment that you think it. He knows what you're going to think before you think it. You don't have to have any super duper pious prayers that will blast off to get a million light years up into the skies and reach God in heaven on his throne somewhere. He's right there. You don't have to feel like you're getting them up to heaven. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. And fourth, to practice his presence is develop a habit of praise. When you praise God, it does so many things to experience his presence. Praise means to thank God for who he is and for what he's done in your life. In Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. We move into an awareness of God's presence. Nothing will help you become more aware of God's presence in your life faster than developing a habit of praise. Nothing helps you tune into him better than beginning to praise God. God's always around us. He's always present, but sometimes we sense his presence more than we do other times, don't we? He's equally present no matter where you are, at work, at home, at church, or wherever. When you're tired, when you're happy, he's always present equally, even if we sometimes sense his presence more than we sense it at other times. When we talk about entering into his presence through praise, it simply means to tune into his presence. Since God's everywhere, you can praise him everywhere, in your car, in the shower, mowing the lawn, well, not right now, maybe shoveling snow, everywhere. If the only time you worship God is in church on Sunday mornings, then guess what? You've barely begun to scratch the surface of worshiping God. You've barely begun to worship him. God's everywhere, so you can praise him everywhere. Listen, a whole new life is about to open up for you if you grasp the simple truth that God is always with you. It can change your life. It'll fill you with joy. It'll make you secure. It'll help you out, and it will help you to become aware of him with you, to allow him, if you allow him to do so. No matter where you find yourself this week, God will be there, at home, at work, on the road, in the air, at school. God's everywhere. He's in the church, he's in the jail, and he's in the bar. God is everywhere. To those of you who are tired and discouraged or frustrated, who maybe are hurting, afraid, worried, sick, depressed, I just want to say to you, God is with you. God is with you. Let's pray together. God, as we started this message, I end it the same way, just to thank you for your presence. You are present before us in this place and in this space and in this time. You will be present with us as we walk to our cars and as we drive home or to that restaurant we eat at on Sundays. You'll be present with us when we start our week and our new work week, or our time with our grandkids or wherever we're at in this week. God, your presence is with us. Help us to acknowledge it. Help us not to just go on our feelings, because our feelings can rob us, our feelings can deceive us. Help us to move on the fact that God is always with us, and allow that to stir us to walk in your presence, dear God. And on this day, as we talked about with the first practical way of experiencing your presence, if there's anybody here that has never truly asked Jesus to be in their heart, then you can't really know God's full presence. You can ask him in today. Jesus, I want your presence within me, not just around me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come in and lead me forever. I want to walk in your presence. It's that simple. And it all begins. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. I want you to do something with me to help put this into practice. Just repeat after me that God is present. Ready? Say it with me. God is present. Do it one more time. God is present. And through your days this week, when the difficult times are there, when the times are challenged, when you're getting too busy, you're hearing too much noise, you stop and say it. You've done it with your mouth once. Say it with your mouth in the name of Jesus. God is present. Recognize that truth that he is with you. He's present, and you can rest in that, and you can walk in that, and it will take you so many places. God is present.